And I was hoping the cameras would be here when we started healing at the end, but I think it would have been a really good slow motion if I, you know, got a couple of y'all right on the forehead and you fell out. But okay, maybe they'll come back in. I mean, they're going to miss the tongues of fire, but that's fine. If they wanted to leave now, that's cool. All right, so we are out of Timothy, which I'm very excited about. And it was funny because, you know, I had told you the last 3 weeks, I mean, those first Timothy texts were all tough, and that book is very tough. And so we're getting back into the Gospels this week. We're in the Gospel of Luke. And then the text that came up for this week in the Gospel of Luke is one that, when you first initially hear it, it feels like one of those kind of abusive texts. In other words, it's one of those ones, at least, that most of the time when I heard it growing up, I usually left feeling worse about myself by the time we were done with it. But I really don't think that's what's going on here. But I want us to take some time and go through it. Unfortunately for us, the lectionary, which kind of gives you, you know, which things we're going to talk about each week, and we've been following for a couple years now, doesn't do us any favors here, because the lectionary kind of just selects this one little part and leaves out some of the context, right? And context, of course, is extremely important. So someone might say to you, you know, Jesus said, you know, maybe someone's getting, you know, has just gotten in a fight. And then you say, hey, you know, maybe that's not the best way of doing things. And you say, yeah, but Jesus said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. And so, you know, he punched first, so I'm punching back. And that's technically true, except without the context of what comes next, right? Which is Jesus saying, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye or tooth for tooth. I say, don't resist an enemy. I say, if he hits you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. If he, you know, sues you for your cloak, give him your tunic. Give him, you know, if he sues you for your jacket, give him your underwear. It's just a loose interpretation, but that's about right based on the clothing back then. You know, if they ask you to go 1 mile, go another. And so you can technically be true about something being said, but if you don't have the context of it, it takes on a very different meaning. And this, to me, is one of those texts. And it's also difficult because it's hard to read tone, right? Has anyone gotten in trouble with an email or a text because it's really difficult to read tone, right? I mean, you can type something, and one person willing to admit, yes, this week. It can be really hard because, depending on how you read it, and I've been in a situation before where I got an email and I'm trying to figure out, okay, if I read it this way, I'm really upset and mad at this person, or they're mad at me, and if I read it this way, like, I'm totally good. Or you'll hear someone say, can you believe this person wrote this to me, and they read it to you, and you're like, I'm not sure if that's the tone they meant, right? So if I were to write, hey, got your email, just wanted you to know, I don't think I'll need your help, I think I can do it, thanks a lot, right? You just put it like that, and it's all good. It's just, you know, you offer to help, they probably don't need it, they appreciate your offer. Or you can say, got your email, just wanted you to know, I don't think I'll need your help. I think I can do it, thanks a lot, bye. And suddenly that person's a sarcastic jerk and you never want to talk to them again, right? Now, you may not, I don't know how much you know about translation from the Greek and kind of the original manuscripts, but like no verses were like typed in all caps or had little emojis after them or anything like that. So, you know, emojis are God's gift to us to be able to read tone. I mean, I don't know how they survived without them, right? And so, anyway, so with that said, you can read things in very different ways. And tonight's text, is in Luke 17, and the lectionary starts in verse 5, and it skips the first four verses of this chapter that I think are really important. But let's just start in 5 for right now, just so we can kind of get a feel for it. It says this, and so here's what the lectionary text tells us to start with. The apostle said to the Lord, quote, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Thus saith the Lord. Suppose one of you, yeah, I'm probably going to have to replace the battery in this. Give me 1 second here. Luckily, this is not on film. Can I read this? Well, how about you turn it off, Mike? That would be smart. All right, so increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. This is rat. We're not going to do a microphone. It says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after sheep. He will say to the servant when he gets home from the field, come along and sit down to eat. Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat or drink. Will he thank the servants because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. I've just massacred that text with all this going on. But again, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes from the field, come along now and sit down and eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Anyone else feel bad about themselves right now? Like I do. I read that. I was like, oh, come on. I just got out of 1 Timothy. How are we going to jump right into one of these verses that makes me feel really bad about myself? And truth is, almost always when I've heard this scripture talk about, the tone that's given is a tone of Jesus being kind of frustrated and unhappy. Right? And so it kind of works this way for me as an individual. Mike struggles with issue A or B, or can't stop doing whatever he's not supposed to do, or can't start doing whatever he's supposed to do. Whatever the thing is, Mike is not doing well in life, as happens once in a while. Mike wishes he could be more loving or forgiving or generous or whatever, as he should be. And then Jesus looks at Mike, shaking his head, and says, the most minuscule little faith can do miracles, and you can't even do this. Right? Your faith won't even show up on the scale, it's so bad. A mustard seed is like the tiniest kind of thing you can imagine. I mean, it's the smallest little thing. Your faith isn't even that big. Just do what you're supposed to do. Just do it. Dislike yourself while you're doing it. And don't expect me to pull cartwheels just because you've done your job, right? Your little slave, act like it. Peace be with you. Have a great week, everybody. I mean, does anyone remember hearing any of these texts in that tone? I mean, this is always the way we talked about it growing up. And there's a couple of problems with reading this text in that tone. First, again, there is no actual tone here, right? It's not written in all caps. There's no emojis. It's a choice we make. And the fact that we read it in that tone says more about us as the reader than it does say about Jesus. So we don't have anything to indicate that tone. Second, it just doesn't sound much like Jesus and the other things he teaches and does, right? It seems very much at odds with other things that Jesus taught, that tone. And this should always set off alarms for you. This should always bother you when that happens. I've heard it said this way. If you can't find the God of love in the scripture that you just read, if you can't find Jesus in that scripture, read it again. Right? Because God's hidden in there someplace. Or there's a problem that you need to address, right? That we need to kind of figure out. I'm not sure I believe that all the way. I mean, there's places where, like, you know, he cut up his concubine into 12 pieces and mailed them, you know, and you'll go, okay, I don't think I can dig deep enough to find Jesus in that. And that's fine. And there's, you know, some things to deal with at other places in the Bible. But the idea is that we need to kind of back up and think about this. Before we read it in that tone and we attribute something to Jesus that just doesn't sound anything like some very specific things Jesus said, let's think about the tone. So let's look at some of the preceding verses here. Let's start in verse 1 instead of in verse 5. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. The apostles of the Lord said, increase our faith. See, if you put those verses before it, all of a sudden that response from the disciples starts to make a little more sense, right? There's a context to the disciples' request. Jesus has just asked them to do some seriously difficult things. First, Jesus tells them that there is little that is worse on a person than causing others to fail and to fall. You would rather swim with stone shoes than be one of those ones that hinders other people from Christ's love, right? You don't want to live with what comes with that reality. I don't know if you've ever been the person that caused that kind of pain, that caused someone else to stumble, or that maybe you someone kind of looked up to you and you let them down, or you were supposed to lead them in some way and you failed at it. I don't know if you've ever been that person. I have. And it really is. It's the worst thing. It is the hardest thing to get over for me. It is a weight that you don't want to try and swim with in this world. Right? Through my own ignorance or my own selfishness or my own brokenness, I end up kind of pushing people farther away from Jesus instead of getting them closer. I'm in a position to lift up, and instead I end up pushing people down. And it's heavy. You don't want it. Be careful, Jesus says. And then Jesus says, if you're the one on the ground, if someone else has pushed you on the ground, if someone else has failed you, if someone else has wronged you, he tells you to do two things. First, he tells you this. First, he says, be honest with them. Right? The Greek term here for rebuke, and I know rebuke we think about means like yell at someone and kind of get angry. That's not what we're talking about. The Greek term here for rebuke, and it's epitomao. Got it? Okay. Take that home. Impress your friends. The Greek term here means a couple things. It does mean to admonish, but it also means to honor and to raise the price of, to raise the value of. I love that those are the same word. I want you to think about that for a minute. It means to admonish, but it also means to honor and to raise the price of. I like this image of honesty. In this instance, it's both telling someone the truth, even if it's an admonishment, like this hurt, you shouldn't have done this, being truthful about it, because I honor and value what's going on here, right? And that's the way it works. To be honest, I don't ever say I'm going to admonish you. I don't use that word, but I don't ever admonish anyone about anything unless that person matters to me and there's something of value at stake, right? I mean, if the person cuts in front of me when they shouldn't at the grocery line, or someone, puts their finger out the window to me on the road or something like that, I'm not going to drive up and try and tell them what for. I don't care. What they think of me doesn't matter. Whatever is wrong with our relationship, which obviously is a lot in that situation, I don't care. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I don't care. In fact, I worry about people that do care about that kind of stuff, right? But if I actually do have value in it, if I do raise the price of that situation, then I am to be honest about it. I'm to tell that person they hurt me, which is a very difficult thing to do. To tell them they've hurt me, because it means I value what's been damaged between us. I'm not going to just brush aside what I honor so deeply. And don't just tell them that they hurt you. Don't just admonish them. Don't just rebuke them. Forgive them. Every time, forgive them. They ask you forgive, they ask you forgive, they ask you forgive, time after time after time. So take seriously how much it matters if you wound someone else. And if they wound you, honor them enough to be honest and love them enough to forgive them every time. That's a lot. Yeah, God help me with that, right? And so he lays all this on them, and the disciples, as I would say, hey, help us out. Increase my faith. No wonder the disciples responded with this. Hey, I'm gonna need a bigger faith to do this. You're asking a lot of me right now. Right? This stuff sounds difficult and out of reach. This is not so easy. Lord, give me a big faith. I need some kind of big faith so I can follow through on this kind of stuff. The apostles said to the Lord, quote, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. What if the tone of Jesus' response here is one of encouragement and not belittling? Lord, you want us to do all this. Give us a big faith. I need to be a spiritual rock star to make this happen. And Jesus says, you can do it. You don't need a mountain-sized faith. The smallest detectable faith can do miraculous things. This is not a call to the spiritual rock stars. This is not a call for all those who have it all together, for those who know all the answers and never fall down. This is not for the mountain-sized faith people. You have all you need to do what I have called you to do right now with that minuscule faith you've got. Right? Don't get into the measuring and ranking of faith. Don't get into that game. I'm not looking for giants, and I don't need you trying to be a giant. In fact, and he used an image here that would have been very common in their culture. I know it's kind of offensive to us as we think about servants and slavery. We've got some attachments to it. Then it was just kind of an accepted part of things, and it was different than our version of it too. But suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now, sit down and eat? Wouldn't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? And after that, you may eat and drink? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. God, help us with this. I need a mountain-sized faith. I need to be a spiritual rock star. And he says, no, you don't. You've got everything you need. The smallest amount of faith is enough. I'm not looking for giants. I don't need you to try to be giants. What I need, in fact, is servants. What I need is people of little faith who will serve. Not owners, not big shots, humble slaves to grace and love. I want those who show up and serve, and that's all. And that doesn't take much. What if the whole point of this is you are qualified? You are qualified to be that servant, which means that you have what it takes to help build God's kingdom. However minuscule and weak your faith may be, you have enough. You have enough faith to serve. You have enough faith to not cause other people to stumble. You have enough faith to be honest and reconcile with each other. You're smaller than a mustard seed. Faith can forgive and repent and can heal. Not because you're spiritual rock stars, not because you are mountains of faith, because you are a servant and you follow the first of all servants. Remember, the context of any time Jesus talks about servanthood is not demeaning. The context is always a God who did not consider equality with God something to grasp, but made himself nothing. The context is always a God who did not come to be served, but to serve. In the upside-down economy of God's faith, to be a servant is to be the spiritual rock star. And it doesn't take much. You're smaller than mustard seed faith can forgive and repent and heal because you are a servant and you follow the first of all servants, the one who did not come to be served but to serve. It is through humble service that miracles happen, and you, O little faith, you are qualified. Is this news to anyone else? I mean, this was news to me, right? I mean, I'm still trying to learn this. My whole life, people would kind of preach things in such a way or challenge me in such a way, and I was a kid who genuinely messed up often and didn't measure up often, but wanted to do something, right? I mean, I really genuinely did. I wanted to be a good kid. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be a part of things. But I had this one major hang-up my entire life, which was I knew I wasn't faithful enough. I didn't have what it took, right? I couldn't stand up in front of people and deliver a powerful message. I couldn't stand up and sing the song I was supposed to sing. I didn't have any of these things that I thought were what made someone a spiritual giant, right? I didn't have a great testimony. I'd never joined the occult. I didn't smoke and drink and have to go to rehab or any of those kind of things, right? And in my church, like, if you didn't have a story that was at least rated PG-13 to R, you weren't getting up to tell your testimony because it was just boring to all of us, right? I mean, there's nothing to it. I want someone with some big faith. I was convinced that I couldn't play a part. But you have everything you need right now, however minuscule your faith is. Because God doesn't call us to be spiritual rock stars. He calls us to be servants. And all of you are qualified to be servants. Right? That's the beauty of God's kingdom. None of us are left out. The highest calling is the lowest, easiest thing. It's a conversation I've actually had a lot with folks who come into Ecclesia. And a lot of times, Ecclesia can really push buttons for people. It can be difficult for people, right? They're not always used to hearing things they hear, or maybe sitting in the pew with people they sit in the pew with here sometimes, and it can be difficult. And one of the conversations I've had a lot with people where someone will kind of go, so last week, you know, there's that person who was serving communion, and it's cool if they're serving communion. That's okay, that's cool. Because I don't know if you know about, I heard some things, and we get into this whole thing. And the answer is, yes, they're qualified. To what? Serve? Who's not qualified to serve? We are all sinners in need of grace, right? We are all accepted as we are and loved as we are. And certainly God seeks to redeem us and change us and strengthen our faith and all of those things. But it doesn't take much. If you're waiting for that moment when you're going to have the mountain-sized faith it takes to really participate, you're never going to participate. It's like, what we talked about last week, it's like waiting until you have enough money to be generous. It's never going to come, right? You'll never have enough. Trust me. It's just not, that's just not how it works. You have enough, you are qualified right now. You have everything you need to participate, to build the kingdom. That is the beautiful and good news about community and about what the group of people that Jesus pulled together. None of them were qualified by any measure. Every hero in the Bible is unbelievably flawed. Most of the New Testament is written by someone who went out and killed Christians. Right? All of Jesus' disciples took off as soon as he was arrested, or sold them out for 30 pieces of silver, or fill in the blank. They were nobodies. And that's who Jesus builds his church on. That's who builds the kingdom with God. You have everything you need right now. You are qualified. And I know you're starting to make exceptions in your mind, right? We just finished another one of the Hello, My Name is Ecclesia groups, and I love those groups. I only got to participate in 1 week this time. I love to just sit in all of them when I can, because I love hearing people's stories. And one of the things that I think is the best part about those, if it works the way it does, and hopefully it is that people will get to sit there and honestly tell their story, warts and all, and have a group of people look them in the face and say, you're cool with us. You're called with us. You're qualified with us. I think that's why a lot of us don't tell our stories, right? It's super uncomfortable, isn't it? I mean, those of you who were in that group, when you found out what you had to do, you kind of puckered up a little bit, right? You were like, okay, maybe I got something going next week and I can't make it back, right? Because there's that little voice inside your head that says, if I let people know who I really am, they're going to know how unqualified I am and how I don't belong and how da 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 da, fill in the blank. That narrative goes on in your head. That's not Jesus. You are qualified and you are called, and that is good news. Don't wait until you have faith big enough to participate. It's never going to come. Your puny faith is enough to love and forgive and do miracles. In fact, I would argue that every meaningful thing I've done in my life came just from acting out on my virtually undetectable faith at the time. It takes just a puny faith to serve. And it's servants who build the kingdom. Let's pray. Thanks so much for being here tonight and subjecting yourself to the cameras and everything else. It could be your big break. Just think of it that way. You never know. Just don't forget us when you get famous. But thank you so much for being here. Again, if you're with us for the first time, we're especially glad to have you here. And just know that no matter who you are or where you're coming from, no matter what's going on in your life or has gone on in your life, you are welcome here. We're better off with you in the room. And if you don't already have a community you're connected to, we hope that you'll come back. Get us your email address. Put it in that plastic box by the back door. If you have any gifts for the ministries of this community, including what we're doing at Hawkins Elementary, you can put them in there as well, and we will put them to good use. But we are glad to have had you here tonight. Remember that that justice-themed discussion group is coming up, so sign up for that if you want to be a part of it. Look for the different plates out there. Sign up for which one of those groups you may want to be a part of. And if you want to be a part of the hospitality team, be sure to do that as well. And talk to Sharon about Fall Festival if you want to. To whoever gave us those free batteries this last week for the microphones, sorry I forgot to put one of those in tonight. But I appreciate your gift, and I will use it next week. Thank you so much for being here. And as we leave this place tonight, may we remember that we are called and we are sent out and we are qualified. We do not need to be, and God is not looking for spiritual rock stars, just for those mustard-sized faith people who are willing to serve. So may we go and serve like the God who served us. Peace be with you.
Also with you.
Have a great week.